East meets West is a phrase that has become cliched, but for commentator Ann Norton McBride, who hails from the American Southwest but once lived in Tibet, it still has great meaning.
On a pilgrimage route high in the eastern Himalayas, an old Tibetan chants as others bathe in a sacred waterfall. On a rise overlooking the waterfall, two Tibetans lighting cedar branches and hanging colorful prayer flags are joined by a Tibetan-looking woman who stands respectfully as she watches. What makes this scene unusual is that the woman watching is not Tibetan at all. She is our friend Claudine Bates Arthur, a Native American from Arizona. Claudine and Alberta Tipaconic, both leaders of the Navajo Nation, are part of a group of old pals who have accepted our invitation to come see us in China. The Navajo search for their Asian ancestral roots is not new, but has focused on Mongolia. Claudine and Alberta arrive in this Tibetan corner of China with no anticipation or expectation that they will find any special connections here. But from the outset, the trip is shot through with a breath of mystery. As we step off the trail to let a herder go by with his yaks, our local guide introduces herself as Tashi, a common Tibetan name. Claudine exclaims that one of her very best friends back home is named Tashi. The connection seemed to arise everywhere we turn. A saddle blanket woven in a very distinctive geometric pattern of browns and beige. A typical Tibetan hat. The faces of the old people and the children. Claudine explains,
"Well, I rode a horse that had a saddle blanket on it that looked just like a saddle blanket I have back home. And then I saw older men with fuzzy hats on that my father used to call chata claws, which is which means they're fuzzy on the outside and you tie them on the top, and then when it's cold you bring the fuzziness down around your ears to keep you warm. And the people themselves reminded me of Navajos. So many of the older people and the children in particular look like Navajos to me."
At the heart of Tibetan Buddhism lies its sacred landscape. For the people in this part of the world, forests, waterfalls, and mountains are imbued with deep spiritual significance, just as Navajos revere the mountains, wind, and sky of the American Southwest. Claudine observes that for Tibetans, as for Navajos,
there seems to be worship every day, that their religion is part of their everyday lives.
But it's a certain emotional response between the Navajo women and the Tibetans they meet that somehow best captures the experience. One day early in the trip, we pile out of the car for a rest stop near a group of old Tibetan women working on the road. Filled with excitement, the old women rush to Claudine and Alberta and embrace them with an intimacy and affection reserved for a close relative returning from a long trip. At the end of our trek, we watch as Alberta sits under a tree, comfortably surrounded by a group of animated Tibetans. She tells us later what the excitement was all about.
"Well, I brought some pictures down with me of American Indian people, men and women and children. And I gave them to the people who came from the village who helped us. And when we were sitting down at the bottom, I pulled them out and showed it to them. And they were so elated. I mean, their faces broke out in smiles, and they knew immediately that those were the people we were a part of."
At our final dinner, Claudine spoke in Navajo.
Shadido she
She then spoke in English.
"My sister and I came halfway around the world, and we found people who looked just like us and seemed family, and it's been a wonderful trip."
say goodbye the next day, I am left with a powerful feeling that the magic thread binding together these Navajo women and the Tibetan people comes from some ancient sense that they are all members of a far-flung clan, at last reunited.
Anne McBride Norton is a writer now living in China.